As we go through this lesson, I want you to ask a few questions of yourself. And we'll review these questions at the end of the lesson. I love Jesus so much, I would what? And think of the hardest, most difficult thing, most challenging thing you can think about. If I had to, whatever it is, I would, because I love Jesus. And we've sung about this with a couple of songs. Chris has led us in today. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I know that you were thinking about these words, but maybe not thinking about them as much as you should, or maybe not from a very personal standpoint. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. And what were your thoughts and your feelings as you sang the chorus, "Oh, how I love Jesus"? Were we just sitting here just sort of mouthing the words and just going through the whole thing? Or do we really have a heart into it? Oh, how I love Jesus. I love Jesus so much I would. What's your answer? And we sang number 110 in addition to some other very good songs. Song number 110, My Jesus, I love Thee. My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. I love Jesus so much I would. What's your answer? I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Jesus so much I would. What's your answer? I'll love Thee in life, I will love Thee in death, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Jesus so much, I would. What's your answer? There's a few things I want to talk about as we consider that question. In Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24, as Jay has already read for us today, that we do serve Jesus Christ. This is a fact. As Christians, we serve Jesus Christ. Do you love Him enough to serve Him with what? Turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I want to look at a couple of illustrations. This illustration is of the woman who was a sinner. And she saw that Jesus was in the house of a Pharisee. And she went to Him and she washed His feet and anointed His feet. And in verse 36, we read the story. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting Him to dine with him, and He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, and when she learned that He was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind Him at His feet weeping, she began to wet His feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing His feet and anointing them with the perfume. I love Jesus so much I would. What? And today, we do not wash people's feet normally and anoint them with oil. But I want you to try to imagine being the one who was there that day. If you're a woman, you can be a woman. If you're a man, you can be a man. And you see that Jesus is there, and because of your sin, you are weeping and washing His feet with your tears. And if you're like me, you've got to pretend like you have longer hair. And wiping them with your hair and anointing them. And then look down to verse 44. Turning toward the woman, He said to Simon, here after telling a little parable, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume." Now, which would we be? Would we be the Pharisee who loved Jesus perhaps just a little bit, maybe none at all? Or be the woman? Let me ask you this. What do you think that woman would not have done for Jesus? If she would cry to the point where she could wet His feet and then wipe them with her hair and anoint them, what is it she would not have done for Jesus? Pretend she was here. She could answer the question, "I love Jesus so much, I would..." What is it she wouldn't put in that blank? And now for us, what is it we would not put in that blank? What is it that would just be too much? That's the point where I can't go any further. And then Jesus said, verse 47, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." There is this idea I hear sometimes. Sometimes people in the church, they grow up as kids, their parents were Christians, and they never really did anything bad, so they really don't have much to be forgiven of. And that's used to justify apathy and complacency. And then we look at other people and we'll say, "Well, you know, he really did a lot of bad things. He had a lot to be forgiven of. He's very zealous. He's on fire for the Lord. Well, he's been forgiven of a lot." And then there are those who have been forgiven of a lot, and several years later, they just forget about all that. And they just live in the moment saying, "Well, you know, I've not been forgiven of anything today because I've not done anything wrong." The challenge for you and I is to live every day like the woman. Is to be so committed to the Lord because we love Him so much that there is nothing we would not do. There is nothing that we would withhold. And to live our life that way, with that commitment. Think of the man, Simon of Cyrene, who was compelled to carry Jesus' cross. He was a man from out of town. He may have sort of just got there and happened upon this whole thing, not really knowing what all is going on. I don't know. Could you imagine being the one who was compelled to carry the cross that Jesus was nailed to? Could you imagine going through the streets and all the things that were happening there as Jesus was going, whether, I don't know if Simon was in front or behind, I don't know. If you can just imagine, we're not told in the Bible, what those people were doing to poor Simon besides Jesus. They were probably yelling and cursing and spitting and throwing things, maybe throwing trash. They might have been hitting and abusing and beating him up and throwing him from one side to the other. It might have made him drop the cross. They had to pick it back up. We just don't know. But all of those are within the realm of possibilities. I don't think it's too much to conclude that Simon loved Jesus Christ enough to carry his cross. And the question for us is do we love Jesus enough to carry his cross? I love Jesus so much I would carry his cross. I love Jesus so much I would be crucified in his place if I could. I love Jesus because I love Jesus so much I would. What's your answer? Well, as we talk about serving Jesus, we must talk about obeying Jesus. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Talk is cheap, isn't it? Talk is cheap. It's one thing to say, I love you, and it's another thing to show that you love someone. I think about the men who beat up their wives. In one breath they say, I love you, and in another breath, he beats her black and blue. Now, does he really love her? He says he does, but he doesn't. John chapter 14 and verse 15, just look at several verses very quickly. You know of these, just to remind ourselves. As soon as I get in the right book, we'll do that. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I love Jesus so much, I will keep his commandments. John chapter 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. This is the person that loves Jesus Christ. If I'm not keeping his commandments, what am I telling Jesus? I hate you? If I say I love Jesus, but I don't keep his commandments, I'm saying I'm a liar. John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. He who hates me hates my Father also. Excuse me, that's the wrong chapter. Chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. In chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Do you understand what Jesus is saying there? Jesus is saying the greatest love one person can have for another is to lay his life down for that individual. Jesus showed to us the greatest love that anyone could ever have for another because he died. He died for you. And now he says in verse 14, you are my friends. Get it? This. Greatest love a friend can have is to lay down his life. You are my friends if you do this. What? Do what I command you. Let me ask you this. How do we lay down our life for Jesus today? How do we lay down our life for Jesus today? Verse 14. We do what he says. I cannot put myself up on the cross in Jesus' place. That's impossible. I cannot lay down my life for Jesus physically. I may be required to do that at some point. But when I do his commands, when I keep his word, that is laying my life down. It may require physical death, it may not. I love Jesus so much, I will lay my life down for him. I love Jesus so much, I am laying my life down for him. Say it another way. I love Jesus so much, I am obeying him. Means the same thing. Lay down your life, obey him. Mean exactly the same thing. Now, as you think about this, and as I think about it, I have an advantage. I've been thinking about it for a few days. Do you have this commitment? And it's very easy to say yes. But to really think about it and get down deep and say, do I really have this commitment? Or do I have a superficial commitment that I want to deceive myself into thinking this is my, when it's really not my commitment? And the other thing to think about with that, it is a fact that that commitment can be deeper. That is a fact. Will you make it deeper? And will you do it today? So that's a fact. We can't try to deceive ourselves or to trick ourselves or just make ourselves feel good and saying, yeah, that commitment's there and it's there as much as it can be. That is not true. Will you strengthen that commitment and will you make it deeper and will you do that today? I love Jesus more than family. And young people, I put the second part in there for you, friends. Because the fact is, when you're a teenager, you love your friends more than your family anyway. So I put that in for you. I love Jesus more than my family and my friends. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And there are a lot of things we could talk about with this, but I chose this because I believe this is the strongest human emotion. That is loving family, loving friends, loving other people. And we must realize that our commitment to Jesus, our commitment, and our love for Jesus must be greater than that. Luke chapter 14 and beginning in verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, so then none of you can be my disciple who does not give all his own possessions. Can you truly, from down deep in your heart, say, I love Jesus more than my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, grandparents, friends. Young people, if it comes between Jesus and your friends, have you made the commitment already, my friends go and Jesus stays? Husbands, have you made the decision already in your mind? If it comes between my wife and Jesus, my wife goes and Jesus stays. Don't think that there's never been anybody who's been divorced over the fact that they didn't want to be married to a Christian Just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Parents, if it becomes between your children and your grandchildren, your children grow up, they're married, they have children, and they put some sort of boundaries on your relationship, don't think that doesn't happen. And it comes that the choice is God, Jesus, or relationship with my children. Have you already made up your mind that it's going to be Jesus? Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Hopefully it will never come to this for any of us who are here. But we need to analyze it within this great emotional turmoil that exists in such situations. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Now, do you think it's rather odd when verse 33 is followed by verse 34? Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. How so? By confessing Jesus Christ. And then I want you to notice, just drop down a little further to verses 35 through 39. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Let me tell you something. Look at this. Jesus is talking about the attitude that is present at this very moment. He's saying this. If your attitude, if your love, if your attitude, if your commitment is to mother, father, parents, children, grandparents, grandchildren, whatever it is, if your commitment to them is above your commitment to me, you are lost. That's what he's saying. He's saying you have to love me more. I love Jesus more than my wife. If not, I'm lost. Is that your commitment? Matthew chapter 12. Let me ask you if you view your life in this way. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 46. Jesus' brothers and mother came and were standing outside. And they wanted to speak to him. He was busy with other things. Verse 48, but Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. When it comes to talking about family, is your closest family relationship to Jesus, to God, above any other? Is that your closest family relationship? Because it has to be to go to heaven. Do you love Jesus more than your family and your friends? How about money? Do you love Jesus more than money? Do you love Him more than yourself? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, we see that Jesus loved us more than Himself. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we also must love Jesus more than ourselves. Jesus loved us more than Himself in the fact that He gave up His life. He died upon the cross for us. Romans chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, He didn't seek to please Himself, but did the things that were good for us. We needed a Savior to die on the cross. Luke chapter 9, and beginning in verse 23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. Take up his cross daily. I love Jesus so much, I will take up my cross every day and follow Him. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Turn your Bibles with me over to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Do you love Jesus more than yourself? Do you love Jesus more than money? Do you love Jesus more than recreation and material wealth and things, houses and cars? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. You love Jesus so much to let Him live within you. And the life that you live is a life of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ to do the things He has commanded you to do. To give your life totally up for Him as He gave His life up for you. Number 340 we're going to sing as an invitation song in just a moment. But I believe this song expresses very well what we're talking about right now. I gave my life for Thee, my precious blood I shed, that Thou mightst ransom be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for Thee. What hast Thou given for me? Jesus gave His life for you. And there's one thing He asked for. You to give your life for Him. I love Jesus so much, I have given my life for Him. That I live every day for Him. That I take up my cross every day and follow after Him. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Jesus here, the Sermon on the Mount, is about ready to talk about not worrying, not to be anxious. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, one verse before that, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. I love Jesus so much, I would be homeless for the rest of my life. I love Jesus so much, I'd never have a car again if that's what it took. I love Jesus so much, I would live in a nursing home all alone for the rest of my life. I'm getting old enough to start thinking about those things. You answer the question. I love Jesus so much, I would. The one thing I would never do for Jesus is... what? Do you love Jesus more than sin? The Bible tells us there's two types of people. 2 Timothy 3:4, 2 Thessalonians 2:12, those who love God and those who love God. Excuse me, those who love God and those who love pleasure and wickedness. Turn your Bibles with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at the example of Moses, one you're very familiar with. Moses came to a point in time in his life and he had to make a decision. He had to make a decision whether or not to be with the people of God or to enjoy all of the riches and all of the wealth that's in Egypt, being in Pharaoh's household. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I love Jesus so much, I would endure scourging to be with the people of God. I love Jesus so much, I would endure stoning to be with the people of God. Oh yeah, that's still done in certain parts of our world. I love Jesus so much, I would endure crucifixion to be with the people of God. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus tells us the attitude we must have regarding the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. I love Jesus so much, I will give what? I'll tell you what Jesus requires. Everything. Everything in service to Him. I love Jesus so much, I'll give and I'll use everything in service to Him. Do you love Jesus enough to walk in His footsteps? I love Jesus so much, I'll walk in His footsteps. Turn your songbooks over to 239. Just one moment, we'll extend the gospel invitation. But I want us to look at the words of this song, because they express what we're talking about. Footprints of Jesus. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling lead us to Thee. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Then at last, when on high, He sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at His throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow, we will follow the steps of Jesus. Look out, these last three words will get you. Where'er they go. I love Jesus so much, I will walk in His footprints wherever they go. Is that your love for Jesus today? And it's really easy to think about it. Nice church building. Get a nice car. Drive to a nice house. Go to a nice job. But put yourself in the footprints of some other people. Put yourself in the footprints of those who are persecuted to the death. That doesn't happen anymore. Oh, yes, it does. Go preach in China for a while. Be a Christian there. Is that your commitment? And beyond that, how can you deepen that commitment today? And there's only one person that can answer that question. That's why it's introspective. And that's you. I can't answer that question for you. I can answer it for me. How can you become more committed today? I love Jesus so much, I would. Here's another one. I want to love Jesus so much, I would. We need to answer that question and then make it into the first one. I love Jesus so much, I want to. And then turn it into the first question. How much do you love Jesus? I know you all love Jesus because you're here. But I also know you can love Him more. And Jesus knows you can love Him more. And will you do it? We're going to sing number 340 as we extend the gospel invitation. I gave my life for thee. You're sitting here today, you're a faithful Christian, you've given your life to Jesus Christ. But you can give a little more. And I hope all of us, as we sing this song, we will think about this lesson. We'll think about the things that we thought about. And I trust that no one here is just being half asleep, because it's serious things we've been talking about. And I hope each one of us will make a commitment, a renewed commitment, more of a commitment than ever today, before this song is over. And we'll leave here and carry that out. If you're subject to the gospel invitation, won't you step to the front now as we stand and sing.